Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
The most of you in this business.
Yeah.
Boy, here I go.
Gary, don't move. Stay there, okay?
Your thoughts on the Helen Thomas issue.
According to the Peruvian law, a person who has committed that kind of assassination.
World-famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome back here on this Monday. Coming up, Sandra Bullock, and who the hell was it? It was Sandra Bullock and somebody else. They lip-locked on stage. This is not a first. I think it was Madonna and Britney Spears. Madonna, who first guided a very young Britney Spears into that disgusting act. And eventually, of course, that became very, very famous. Can I get the message from the studio again, please? Anyway, so we got that. Oh, it was Scarlett Johansson. Last night on the MTV Music Awards, plus Yaron Vandersloot reportedly confesses to killing a woman in Peru, as you'd like to hear them, Sandra Bullock and Helen Thomas, 877-876-PHIL, our affiliate Spotlight in Charlotte, WBCN, great station there, 1660, and Fort Wayne, Indiana, brand new WADM 1540. Larry Grover's going to join us here this evening in just a moment. 877-876-PHIL, and we're very excited to tell you that our website, the Phil Hendry Show website, we've increased our business. I mean, we have more subscribers. The reason why I'm excited, that's no big deal for you to hear that, I know, but we're excited because we know that we're delivering a product that, even in the middle of a recession, people are saying, well, wow, this is worth it. And it is, and we appreciate it. So we just saw a nice uptick in business for the last month. And, you know, I bring that up also. I'm not saying I'm some kind of an inspiration for small business, but I will tell you that even in a bad economy, you guys can go and do what you need to do and kick a little bit of ass. If you got a quality product and you give people customer service and, you know, all that stuff, why right over might. All right. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL. Now, we have this just in. And when I say just in, I ain't kidding. Within the last 20 minutes, this is in. Yaron Vandersloot, who was that little scumbag from wherever the hell it was, the Aruba, as a matter of fact. Yaron Vandersloot apparently has confessed to the murder of the Peruvian woman that we were telling you about last week. He said he didn't want to do it. Yeah, sure. Anyway, he remains the prime suspect in the disappearance of Natalie Holloway as the result of his admission that he murdered this Peruvian girl, Stephanie Tatiana Flores Ramirez. And they don't exactly have the date here, but he murdered this young girl because she saw something about Natalie Holloway on his laptop. He said, I didn't want to do it. He said in his confession that she had found something concerning Natalie Holloway on his laptop computer after he'd gone out to the store to pick up some cigarettes or some condoms or whatever, the beer, whatever the hell it was that this jackass wanted. He came back, he found this girl on his computer and murdered her. I mean, it's horrific beyond words. We don't know, according to the AP, they don't know what was found on the computer, this laptop computer that was owned by Yaron Vandersloot. It might have been related to Vandersloot's alleged extortion of Natalie Holloway's mother. He was charged with extortion and wire fraud last week by the United States Attorney Joyce Vance when it was reported he tried to extort $250,000 reportedly. Allegedly, $250,000 from Natalie's mother in exchange for the location of this girl's remains and the circumstances surrounding her death. So this guy's up to his neck in it now, this Yaron Vandersloot. He has confessed to the murder of the Peruvian young woman. He confessed that he murdered this girl because she found something on his laptop relative to Natalie Holloway. It sounds like these Peruvian cops really broke him down. Now, Larry Grover, I know, Larry, that we had scheduled you to talk about BP, and we still want to do that, but I was wondering if you had any comment on this. Larry, with the Conservatives of Kern County. Larry, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, Phil. I was listening with great interest to the your comments and the report of the story, and, of course, the first thing you ask yourself is why the American authorities were not able to break this case, why it took a Peruvian police force, and the Arubian police, and obviously the Peru police. So I think it's to that extent.
Well, it wasn't really under the. It's not in the. It was not the jurisdiction of the American police.
But it was an American citizen, Natalie Holloway, who went missing in Aruba, and the American authorities just sat on their hands while they watched the Arubians. And I don't know if that's the proper way you call them.
Aruban, I think.
Say that again?
Aruban?
The Aruban, and the Aruban authorities were dropping the ball. Now, the Americans should have at that time come in and stake their claim to the case.
But it's not the American jurisdiction, is it, to go into Aruba?
In a case of an American citizen who is missing, who has not been located, and you have a police agency which is constituted to the extent that the Arubian police agency is, you are dealing with a police force that is undermanned and may not have the forensic technology or the investigative ability, then the United States, I think, at that time takes precedence.
But why?
Let's not argue about that, Bill.
All right, but the point is that the Lima, Peru police, he didn't admit to killing Natalie Holloway.
No, he did not, but he just about did when he said that he had killed this other young lady, the Peruvian young lady, because she had found something on his laptop relative to Natalie Holloway. I think that is an indication of something very serious there, but I think it's a slap in the face of every American police officer.
Where do you, if you don't mind, that the Peruvians, not the Americans and Arubians, broke
the case.
Where do you get the idea, though, that the American authorities, American cops, can come in and investigate a case that a crime that took place in another country?
Because, Phil, the American passport and the traveling of an American citizen is a very valuable commerce in this world. When an American goes outside the borders of the country and travels, that individual is spending a significant amount of money and is an ambassador of a lifestyle and a way of life and a culture and a society and a philosophy that benefits the rest of the world. And so when an American goes missing or is otherwise had some kind of a victim of foul play, Then you've got to bring to bear every police detection ability of the highest level. And because Americans go missing, it behooves us to bring the American police in on this. But the American police didn't do anything, and I'm wondering why now. What were they hiding?
What do you mean, what were they hiding? The American cops are not going to hide anything. I think you have a question of jurisdiction here. And I don't think you're right, Larry.
No, I'm right. Believe me, I'm right.
So when an American goes missing or is any kind of a crime...
Any crime that is committed against an American because of the value of the victim, it's a high-value victim, the American police need to, at that point, lodge and administer a jurisdictional request so they can go in and they can investigate the crime.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, if you consider the high-value victim, Americans are high-value. You've heard of high-value target. Americans are high-value victims. And that obviously is something that goes without saying, but I don't know why the American police did immediately lodge a jurisdictional request and at that point send in force any number of police officers. Start with the police officers from her hometown, which I think is Alabama. So you send the Alabama police... So you send
the Alabama police chief to
down to Arubia, and at that point he then requests then the Alabama county heat, if you'll pardon the county heat, the county police, and then the Alabama state trooper, and then you get bigger and bigger and wider and wider.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're on with Larry Grover, the Conservatives of Kern County, 877-876-PHIL. All right, let's get to BP, British Petroleum. And we can take calls and comments on the Natalie Holloway thing. British Petroleum now. Here we are in day whatever the hell it is, 50-something. President Obama is the political football on this, and he has been made such by conservatives. And I, as you know, I have been outspoken to this extent, Larry. I'm not a ideologue, but if you're a conservative and you say it's about smaller government and let business do what it needs to do, and then you say it's got to be Obama, Obama's the guy, how is that consistent? How is the message consistent among conservatives that you are a business-oriented party, that you believe in business being able to do what it needs to do and keep the government off of its back? Now we see a business, and one of the most lucrative businesses in the world, an oil company, obviously doing damage to the tune of billions. And you guys on a conservative side are saying, where's the government?
Well, it's not quite that simple, Phil, because when you have a business like British Petroleum that's attempting to clean up the obvious malfunction, clean up a mistake that was made, they're trying to go about the business of making sure that it can tap this well, and the environmentalists that are always at Obama's door and are constantly trying to get his ear, protecting the environmental point of view, where you have wildlife down there that is apparently not wildlife that is avoiding the oil. You have the environmentalists saying we need to go down there and protect wildlife that has not fled the area. The wildlife didn't swim away. In the case of marine life, it did not fly away. In the case of the bird life there, but stayed and was so injured. How is this the fault of British Petroleum?
And well, what are you saying? That
the environmental movement has not lifted one finger to answer that question. Obama has just gone along with the program, and the next thing you know, you have an environmental movement that is protecting the wildlife of the Gulf, a wildlife population that did nothing to save itself, could have swam and flown off, but instead stayed and is at risk. So these are the questions that we need to answer before you start talking about ideology.
All right, well, hold the line here. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County, and we're talking to him about the British Petroleum oil leak and oil spill, and we're also getting into a little bit of this Jeroen van der Sloot situation. The British Petroleum oil spill, though, in Larry's mind, is still a government problem. Conservatives have said, where's the government? Is that what conservatives should be talking about? Shouldn't conservatives be saying, keep the government out of it, let's have private industry and private business go about what it needs to do? Larry says they're trying to do that, but the environmental movement won't let them, because they're protecting a wildlife that should have flown and swum away from the oil instead of hanging around. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Larry Grover joining us, conservatives of Kern County, as we talk about the British Petroleum oil spill. All right, let's get back to that. We don't have Larry up. Let's get him up there. Larry, go ahead.
The idea that what you were saying.
Start all over again, Larry. Okay, we didn't have your audio up.
I began by talking about the British Petroleum, a private corporation, trying to clean up the Gulf. And Obama won't let him do it, you see.
How is Barack Obama not letting him do it? This is a fascinating thing for me. How's he not letting him do it?
Mr. Hendry, the message that you have attempted to apply to this is that business has let the American people down, and government is not culpable.
That is correct, absolutely. Government in this case is not culpable. Business has let the American people down.
And that is a message that it goes directly against and contravenes what we've been attempting to do on talk radio for a number of years, and that is to let people know that government has gotten way too big.
And government's gotten way too big, but you guys want government to do something about BP.
The government... let me ask you a question. How does it help the conservative movement for you to point that out?
It's not my job to help the conservative movement.
But talk radio is a conservative medium.
No, it's not.
It's not?
Right. There's nothing, there's no law that says that talk radio is a conservative medium. It happens that there are a lot of conservatives on the air in talk radio, and that's because they see other conservatives being successful, so they decide that they'll become conservative.
You think most conservatives that are on the air are not sincere?
Oh, without question. Without question, they're not sincere. I mean, they go from one market to the next, and one day they're a liberal, the next day they're conservative. They're conservative because they figured it's going to work. But that's not what I'm talking about.
No, I am. I'm saying that talk radio is a conservative medium, and as such, you have hurt the conservative message by pointing out that BP is a private company. And what we're trying to do, what we've tried to do, is to connect the message to the American people that BP is a part of the government.
BP is a part of the government to what extent?
To the extent that BP is wasting tax dollars, that British Petroleum is costing the American taxpayer ultimately billions of dollars at a time when they can't afford it, and this message has to be tied to the government.
And why does it have to be tied to the government?
Because the waste of tax dollars... It's very obviously the government's fault.
It may be, but in this instance with British Petroleum, it's not, is it?
It is. Mr. Henry, if I got to argue this with you, what you're basically telling me is that you're working off book. And I can only say to you, when you work off book, and let me ask you something.
What do you mean working off book? I've only heard that term in the acting profession, which means we're not looking at our script. We've memorized it and we know it.
I'm not talking about a script, but I am saying that talk radio has been very, very united in saying that the Obama administration is costing taxpayers a lot. And I know what you're going to say.
No, hold on for a minute.
I know what you're going to say about BP being a private company.
Hold on for a minute. You've been very united. The Obama administration costing taxpayers lots of money, but the British Petroleum oil leak is kind of thrown that out of whack, hasn't it?
No, it has not until we get people like yourself who are saying that British Petroleum, all right, is a...
British Petroleum's a private company that was unfortunately caught with an oil leak problem, and now British Petroleum has a problem that's going to cost the American taxpayer a lot of money. Now, the question is, conservatives, okay?
Conservatives are not leaking oil into the Gulf. British Petroleum is.
But British Petroleum is a company, and you guys are about company, corporation, private sector, private concern, private interest, doing its thing, unfettered by the government. Suddenly, British Petroleum breaks an oil leak of some kind, and where's the government?
Exactly, and I'll go back to what I said. The environmental movement is keeping British Petroleum from doing what it needs to do, because British Petroleum has to stop and clean up a lot of ducks and birds and this kind of thing. These are animals that could have fled the Gulf area once the oil began to leak. Instead, they stayed. And this is not British Petroleum's fault. This is the fault of the environmental movement.
How is that the fault of the environmental movement?
And you're talking about what?
I'm talking about birds and fish that should have left that weren't smart enough.
Obviously, they were not... For whatever reason, the instinct was not for those animals to leave. And I think it's because the environmental movement and Barack Obama have been down there almost hand-feeding the wildlife of that region and making the wildlife, training the wildlife of that region to believe it is safe to exist there as a habitat. When the oil finally started to leak, the animals down there, so trained by the environmentalists, stayed, and as a result, you've got them there getting oil on them, with the oil all over them. You know as well as...
That's a desperate argument.
No, that's not a desperate argument.
It most certainly is a desperate argument, Mr. Bozell.
Bozell?
I mean, what's your name?
Larry Grover.
Mr. Grover, that's right. We do have Steve Bozell later on.
Oh, that's great.
Nonetheless, that's not an argument that is... I don't think it's an argument that's going to stand. I think it's an argument that, for my way of thinking, is, without question, one of those things that stands on hypocrisy.
I beg your pardon.
It stands on hypocrisy. 877-876-PHIL. Larry Grover says that the message is the government, not BP. Even conservatives should believe that it was the government that did this, not BP. And I say that hypocritical.
Phil Hendry.
Where's our bumper music?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. How you doing, guys? I apologize to you watching on the internet. I think for whatever reason, we had our feed go down, but we're back. And we have Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County who's joining us, and we're talking about British Petroleum. And I do have some just one or two pieces of audio, I guess, from this oil spill. We have President Obama telling the Today Show that he's going to find out whose ass to kick. He's going to find out whose ass to kick regarding the oil spill.
I was down there a month ago. Before most of these talking heads were even paying attention to the Gulf. A month ago, I was meeting with fishermen down there, standing in the rain, talking about what a potential crisis this could be. And I don't sit around just talking to experts because this is a college seminar. We talk to these folks because they potentially had the best answers, so I know whose ass to kick.
Larry?
Well, I don't think that is a language becoming a president.
See, here's my point.
No, hold on. You asked me a question. I don't think that's language becoming a president. And I don't think that Barack Obama is going to teach anybody at British Petroleum how to get things done. If British Petroleum had not had the environmental movement to deal with, we wouldn't have wildlife that has not been properly maintained and trained to leave the area once a threat like this exists. And
I'm unaware of any environmentalist or wildlife expert that can train wild animals, a wild fish, a wild marine life, wild birds to flee an area if there's some kind of an environmental problem. I'm unaware of that.
Well, but you heard Barack Obama say he's going to kick some ass. Because they didn't train these animals to leave.
He didn't say that at all.
Well, he's going to go down and kick ass on BP.
Is that BP's job?
What is?
Is it BP's job to train animals to flee the area? It is BP's job to drill oil. It is BP's job to drill oil safely. It's BP's job to pull oil out of the ground so that it doesn't threaten the health and welfare of people or wildlife. Yeah, that is BP's job. That's Barack Obama's fault?
Well, you just heard Barack Obama say he went down there and he couldn't do anything.
I also just heard you say, Larry, that...
Bill, when you're losing the argument, give up.
No, I'm not losing. I just heard you say that Barack Obama is not an oil guy. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move over to a phone call. Here is Rick in Topeka, Kansas. Rick, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I have a conservative point of view that the guy you're talking to, that Grover,
Larry Grover, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm not buying your idea that those birds should know to fly away. I do agree that Obama is not handling this right. He should have been sending equipment down there, and he should have been doing things. And conservative or liberal, whatever you want to do, you clean up the mess, and then you figure out who pays for it later, because all these beaches are getting screwed up. All this wildlife is getting screwed up.
But the wildlife, this is the environmentalist. The environmentalist says all right, there's wildlife down there that we want to protect, and we want to make sure it has a habitable area. Now BP, this accident happened, and the wildlife, the environmentalists have trained the wildlife to think it's a safe habitat, so it doesn't know enough, is the point that I'm making.
I will agree with you that Obama should be doing more than what he's doing besides sending lawyers down there and deciding who to sue. But my God, those birds are not pets. You can't train them to go potty outside and do all that.
No, I'm not. The gentleman's being ridiculous.
Well, what do you mean then, Larry, when you say that they're trained?
I'm saying that how do you sue British Petroleum for the injury to wildlife that was too stupid to know that it was in danger? That's what most wildlife understands it's in danger, but not down there. And, you know, you've got jokes that are circulating on conservative newsletters. Well, they're southern wildlife, so of course they're stupid. But I don't think this is anything that you make a joke about. But to finish the thought, this is something that the Obama administration, being in bed with environmentalists and these green people, has caused.
Oh, come on. The green people.
Now,
you know, neither one of you guys has answered this question. You're talking about Obama sending equipment. Doesn't BP have equipment in case something like this happens? Aren't these private companies, these multi-million dollar companies, are they not fixed so that if a problem like this arises, they have people at the ready to do something about it? Do we suddenly have a knee-jerk look to the government when a big, big corporation is in trouble like BP? But otherwise, you don't have any use for the government?
You know, you're taking it off the point, Mr. Henry. I'm talking about the fish.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rick. You were going to say something.
The fish don't there know is enough. Rick, you agree with me, right?
Okay.
The fish don't know enough to leave?
Rick, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you.
You're on the air, Rick.
Government doesn't need to be completely out of the picture, but they don't need to run our lives. And there's absolutely no reason that there's emergency management should not have some factor in this.
What about the ducks?
No, that's a terrible tragedy. We should do all we can do for the wildlife and cap this thing. But, I mean, yes, there is a use for government.
And the ducks.
We understand about the ducks. Listen, Rick, I appreciate it very much, sir, and I understand what you're saying. The government needs to be there at these very critical times. 877-876-PHIL.
I let him off the hook, but me, you hold my feet to the fire, and not only my feet, but other parts. You know, I don't mean to be funny, but you almost have a thrill holding other parts of my body to the fire, other parts of my body that may dangle low enough to hold to the fire.
Because what is it that you're trying to say?
I'm trying to say that you're pussyfoot with that guy, but with me, it's almost like you want to push pokers that you lit over a fire into my eyes.
What are you talking about, man? You're the guy that's been bringing up the wildlife and the ducks.
The environmental movement is behind this. They're behind it. I don't know how, but I am telling you, when all is said and done, we're going to find out they're the ones that started, not the leak, but the death of these animals.
Well, if you're telling me that the environmental movement is behind the death of these animals because they didn't know enough to leave the area... Here is Alex in Greensboro, North Carolina. Alex, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello, Phil. How are you doing this afternoon?
Yes,
Hello,
sir. I'm good. Thank you.
I tuned in. I'm a truck driver traveling through the area, and I tuned in, and I'm kind of confused by Mr. Grover's point that he was saying that the environment has trained wild animals to stay in an area, and there's been no footage on this.
What I'm saying is that the footage... the environmentalists in these habitats that are safe, the animals become accustomed to a safe and soothing area to habitat. Now, when something happens as drastic and as dastardly as the oil leak, the animals are instinctively don't have the reflex to make a move. And they...
But Mr. Grover, but what you're saying, though, I mean, okay, you're taking animals that have been there for, okay, even if they've been there, say, 20, 40 years, right? You're taking something and bringing it into their environment. We're bringing something like that into their environment.
What do you mean? The animals have been there for 40 years?
No, I'm just using 40 years as an example. Okay, the oil well's been there, what, 10, 15 years?
Oh, the oil well's okay. And you're saying the...
Well, the oil well was there, but the animals were there longer. I don't know when they arrived in the Gulf, but...
Well, I think we can say millions of years.
Well, I don't know. I don't necessarily believe in evolution.
All right, so let's just say the animals have been there before the oil rigs.
I think that's safe.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm saying that, you know, they're in their natural environment. If something like this happens, it's just something in their environment. They don't know, okay, this is going to kill me if I swim towards it. It's not like me and you at our house.
I don't know how you can say that when you know that animals have a survival instinct every bit as real as a human survival instinct.
Okay.
And when they don't drink poison and they don't eat, you know, and so they see... And immediately they'll flee the area until the all clear.
What do you mean the all clear?
But with that being said, that's like having a goldfish in a boat. That goldfish, if you give that goldfish food every day, he's going to eat it every day, right? Until he gets to the bowl, he dies.
He'll jump out of the bowl. He'll jump out of the bowl if the water becomes polluted, as you know.
I've never seen that happen.
It will happen. They will try to escape. They try to escape their environment. Now, the environment, the animals down in the Gulf will leave the area until the all clear, which is something that's delivered to them by the schools of fish that interact. They go between the Gulf streams. So one school of fish will give the all clear to another. That's how animals communicate.
What do you mean one school of fish gives the all clear about what?
I was talking to Alex, I thought.
No, you're talking to me, Phil Hendry. The all clear about what?
That the Gulf is cleaned up.
And they get the all clear to swim back.
Well, this gentleman, Mr. Hendry, I've been talking to the gentleman. Alex, if the gentleman is there.
Yeah, I'm still here.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean, don't you? At least I can talk to one reasonable man. You understand me.
I've seen animals that have, if the forest fire breaks out, Mr. Grover, I've seen them run away, and then once the forest fire is gone, they come back.
There you go. Exactly.
But this isn't a forest fire. This is something that's in their environment that's seen. It's not going away. So they're going to come back not knowing. They're going to dive into this thing thinking, okay, this is just dark water. I'm going to dive in, and now they're soaked. They're going to die. And then it's going to collude.
I think the environmental movement has, okay, then I think that we could chalk one up, Alex, a casualty of the environmental brainwashing, along with President Obama.
So this gentleman on the phone has been brainwashed by the environmental movement not to believe that these fish should know enough to leave. And the environmentalists, they win how?
They win because the fish die and BP gets blamed. Boy, I'm surprised you got to ask that question.
All right. Alex, thank you very much, sir. It's been a pleasure having you on our program. I appreciate it. So that's Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. And I'm going to bring Larry back one more time for a comment on the Vanderslice. I don't want to talk anymore about BP. There's no point. The environmentalists trained the animals to stick around and not leave. Maybe a comment on the Vanderslice situation. We'll kind of bring you up to speed on that. Later on, we have Steve Bozell, who is launching a legal action against public and private club swimming pools, saying that they are creating a competitive environment that makes it potentially emotionally debilitating to people that swim in their pools. So we'll be talking with him later on. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Bill 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Helen Thomas retires out of after her out-of-Palestine comment. Ordinarily, this would be a story that probably wouldn't get a whole lot of play because I don't know that anyone other than somebody who's, you know, advanced in years cares or knows about Helen Thomas. She's 90 years of age. She's been a reporter since the 1940s. She was a reporter with UPI until UPI went out of business. She works for AP. She doesn't work for anybody anymore. She's retired. Now, one of the reasons why Helen Thomas is controversial is because she is a columnist, not really a reporter. There was a point when she was a reporter, but that ended at a certain point, and then she became a columnist. What are columnists? Columnists are not reporters. They're people with opinions. They make comment as opposed to report. Now, the line is blurred a lot lately. There's no question about that. But nonetheless, there is a difference between someone who reports and someone who has opinion. And we pay them, or we, I say, when we read the newspaper, we look, okay, over here is a report and over here is an opinion. And we sort of get the idea that there's a difference. Helen Thomas is not a reporter. She's a commentator. Well, that's not such a terrible thing. But she also had her ass parked up front in the first row there of the White House briefings that they would have there in the press room for White House briefings, whether it be, you know, from the press secretary or the president. She's always up front. Why? Well, it's kind of a seniority thing and the fact that she's known and she's been hanging around this and that, this and that. Well, it just so happens on top of all that other stuff that she's old and she's got seniority and, she, you know, this and she's been around since 1944. There's another thing. She is a very contrary woman. She's known to ask very hard questions. Nothing wrong with asking a hard question. When I say a hard question, I mean a hard question to answer. But some questions are hard to answer because they don't make any sense. Some questions are hard to answer because it would take 3 days to answer them, right? Like, for instance, when she asked Bush, why did we attack Iraq? Really, the answer to that question is because we thought they had weapons of mass destruction. And then you get into, yeah, but you didn't really because you knew they didn't because the intelligence wasn't there and you knew. And then it devolves from being a factual conversation involving facts to a conversation involving, you know, ideology and political point of view. And that was Helen Thomas. That's where she was at. She was opposed to Bush, opposed the war in Iraq. She asked all kinds of questions that were not so much questions as they were points of view and you know, attack points, I guess. She did the same thing here recently with this question about Israel. You know, what do you think about Israel? They ought to go back to Poland. They ought to go back to Germany. Well, that there comes a time when you are no longer, are you not asking, you know, smart questions. I mean, the day ended years ago when Helen Thomas asked a smart question. She just started asking argumentative questions. And now with the answer that she gave to the question to her, she bears her soul as, you know, an anti-Semite. Plain and simple. Well, how come if you think Israel is... I'll tell you how come. If you believe that the Israelis ought to... The Jews ought to uproot and go back to Poland, back to this, back to that, back to something else, you don't have any idea of what the Jewish people have been through for the last 2,000 years. You got no clue. That's number one. Number two, you don't know anything about how the Jewish state was established after World War II. Nothing at all. And this is where you really get people pinned down because you say, well, it was the United Nations Accord that brought about the Israeli state. Those are the very same people who will say, well, the UN is wrong, but then they want Israel to adhere to all of these UN resolutions. The UN resolution that brought them into existence, the very people that want Israel to adhere to these resolutions, they don't want to adhere to that one. Well, that's the one resolution we don't want to adhere to, but all the others. Ah, get out of here, Helen. You're just an old bag. So here's Helen Thomas. She retired after making these controversial remarks to blogger Rabbi David Nesanoff at rabbilive.com.
Any comments on Israel? We're asking everybody today. Any comments
on Israel?
Tell
them to get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments
on that? Helen is wild.
Remember, these people are occupied, and it's their land. It's not German. It's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews,
Germany.
You think Jews go back to Poland and Germany?
And America and everywhere else.
Well, that's home. And then here is Press Secretary Robert Gibbs issuing a strong rebuke of Thomas's. There's nobody that liked what she said, liberal or conservative.
I think those remarks were offensive and reprehensible. I think she should and has apologized. because obviously those remarks do not reflect certainly the opinion of, I assume, most of the people in here, and certainly not of the administration.
Here is a caller to C-SPAN host Bill Scanlon this morning that agreed with Thomas, though.
Hi there. Your thoughts on the Helen Thomas issue?
Yeah, I thought that her statements were spot on. I mean, they were accurate statements. The people in Israel who run the country are immigrants coming from Europe who were kicked out mainly because of diseases and homosexuality that were spreading in Germany. The Germans wanted them out. Nobody would take them. That's what caused the all the killings that occurred there. We didn't take them.
You're saying all of the killings in the Holocaust were people who were homosexuals or unwanted by Germany?
It was caused by the fact that diseases were spreading and there was a panic in the country because of syphilis spreading all over the country and because of the prostitution and homosexuality that was spreading.
Yeah, except that was being spread by Heinrich Himmler. That's what the guy got wrong. The Nazis were mostly spreading the homosexuality. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Steve Bozell joins us next hour. Plus, to come as you'd like to hear them, special guest Sandra Bullock and, you got it, Helen Thomas, right here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.